This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Mark, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on with us. We appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you, Annie. Some people would argue that I do a filibuster for about 4 hours every morning.
Yeah, some days better than others. I can totally relate to that. Is there a topic you would like to hear Ryan Wiggins filibuster about? You can feel free to let us know that. He's going to go about a minute or two on each of these topics that the listeners suggest, and we're going to see what he's made of.
Well, you know, I don't know. I would like to maybe hear Ryan give me his thoughts on whether it was Van Hagar or Van Halen was the better band. What do you think?
I am writing it down. Van Hagar versus Van Halen. That's one that we're going to tip him off on. He can research now because you know he's listening. Mark, I wanted to ask you, first of all, about the redistricting that's going on in the state of Missouri. Now, as you know, I'm from that east side of the river, and you should see District 13 that I live in right now. It is the Metro East. It goes up through Decatur all the way up into Champaign. It's just this little strip of all these college towns that they put together and that they've drawn for a candidate that they had in mind when they drew it, and a Democrat. They want to flip it blue. Now, in Missouri, they definitely are not going to have the kind of maps that they have in the state of Illinois. Yet, I hear a lot of dissent within the Republican Party over how this should be done. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, well, we don't have quite the intestinal fortitude as Republicans in Missouri that the Democrats do, apparently, in Illinois and other states. We just don't. There are a number of examples around the country of where Democrats who are in some cases, super majorities, as they are in Illinois, believe that redistricting is a reflection of the population, of how they voted for the past 8 or 10 years. And in Missouri, that's overwhelmingly Republican. And there's an opportunity before them. In fact, Nick Schroer, who I know you know Nick as well, is a state representative. He's running for Senate out in St. Charles County. He read him the Riot Act yesterday and said, listen, we need to vote on making this a 7-to-1 map. So it's currently 6 Republican districts, 2 Democrat seats in the state of Missouri. He said, we can easily redraw this to make it 7 Republican districts and one Democratic district, that being CD1 there in the city of St. Louis. He got shut down by Republican leadership and basically sent back to his seat, and they voted in the House to approve a weak 6-to-2 map. And I say weak because, you know, Ann Wagner's seat, she had to fight a couple years ago. This past election, she didn't. But in Congressional District 2, Annie, in the 2020 election, Josh Hawley lost in that district. Think about that. I mean, so in other words, CD2 as it stands is still red on the map, but it's turning more and more purple. And without it being shored up a little bit to ensure that it's a solid red district, two election cycles down the road, it could very well turn blue. And the Republicans have an opportunity to fix that. And for some reason, it's baffling to me. It's baffling to Nick Schroer. They won't do it. They split up St. Charles County. They could have included all of St. Charles County in CD2, and that would have truly strengthened that district. And for some reason, they opted not to do that. So, and everybody's baffled by it.
Let me ask you the obvious question here that maybe there isn't an obvious answer to. Why would Republican leadership balk at that? You said it's a weak 6-2, which is probably the best way I've heard it described, because I hear people going, it's a 6-2 map, but other people say, no, it's 5-3. And by that, what you mean is there are eight seats, there are eight congressional seats in the state of Missouri, and six of the districts are going to be GOP districts, and two of them are going to be Dem districts. And the concern is that it's going to go from six GOP, two Dem, to five GOP. If you've got the leadership, if you've got the Republican Party in control, what reasons are they giving to suggest that dividing the county, the St. Charles County, is the right way to go?
Well, guess who's not in a supermajority anymore in the House of Representatives in Missouri, and that's the Republicans, because they've had a couple of Republicans resign, and it's dropped them just below the threshold to do whatever it is they want to do. So the argument on the part of leadership is that in order to get enough votes to get this done in what's called an emergency clause, which means it would go into effect in 30 days, they need to have some Democrats voting with them.
Well,
and they basically negotiated on the second congressional district, in my opinion. And on that, on the Cleaver's district, they're not even trying to go after Cleaver's district over in Kansas City. It's a numbers game, but that doesn't mean they should go down without a fight. And right now, it appears they're willing to go down without a fight.
Okay, so here's a question from somebody who sits on the opposite party. I'm in the super minority in the state of Illinois, and I look at what Democrats are doing to make sure that they can get every Democrat seat possible and the lengths that they go to. And I have seen the map that State Rep Nick Schroer has put out, and it does not look anything like the maps that Illinois Democrats come up with to try to do the gerrymandering that they do. Is it the legislature's responsibility, if they retain the power, to draw themselves the most favorable map? Because when I'm looking at the supermajority of Democrats that run the state of Illinois, and I'm seeing how they are manipulating the map to try to favor their party, I feel like it would be hypocritical for me to criticize or to not criticize the Republicans in the state of Missouri for doing the exact same thing. However, when I compare those maps, what the Democrats are doing in Illinois versus what at least I've seen from Nick Schroer in Missouri, they're incomparable in the way you could air quotes accusative gerrymandering.
I would agree. I mean, when I think of gerrymandering, I think of something that's drawn to look almost like a dog's hind leg. You have to draw it an extraordinary map to make it fit what you want it to be.
Illinois looks like an Etch-a-Sketch took care of.
It's
obnoxious.
And that's not the case. That's not the case in the state of Missouri, in my opinion. People have their little fiefdoms, and for some reason they've been able to bring that to bear. And you know, Annie, here's probably what's going to happen. It's going to go to the Senate. The conservatives in the Senate are going to try to modify it a little bit. I don't know if they're going to have any luck doing that. I hope they do. What they're trying to do is completely constitutional. But at the end of the day, I think that just to draw a parallel here with what happened in Virginia, where there was a lot of blowback with what Terry McAuliffe tried to do and said about parents in the schools, and parents kind of stood up and said no.
Right.
I think there's an effort underway in Missouri by a group of people to fund primary challenges and to find truly conservative candidates in many of these districts around Missouri, where they talk one game when they're running for election and they vote differently when they get to Jeff City. So maybe whatever happens here, we're not going to be happy with it. I think it is going to fuel those challengers in those districts to get rid of some of these people who are rhinos in how they govern once they get down to Jeff City. That's the rosiest picture I can paint of this. I have to hope there's some pushback and that we're successful in getting rid of some of these people who say one thing and then vote a different way when they get in office.
Well, that's the accountability that elections afford us, and it's important that people are willing to stand up for the actions that they choose to engage in. We're speaking with Mark Cox of the Mark Cox Morning Show, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. here on 97.1 FM Talk. On the Mark Cox Morning Show, a little birdie told me that Governor Parson will be on tomorrow at 7:35 a.m. to recap the speech that he is going to give today, the State of the State, for Missouri. I'm curious, you know, briefly, you could filibuster as long as you want. I have till 3. And then Joe Biden is apparently going to take over. That'll be interesting. Do you have an opinion on the state of Missouri, Mark Cox?
Well, you know, I think Governor Parson has done a fine job so far and nothing out of the ordinary from what I expected out of him. I will say, and I've said this to him, other governors, including Ron DeSantis, have been much more forward-thinking when it came to dealing with the pandemic. I thought that the governor's been too hands-off over that. I felt he could have done more sooner to take power away from Sam Page and some other health officials across the state. I mean, that's a positive. And on his watch, we raised the gas tax, which he was in favor of, which I think, you know, in hindsight, the state is now flush with cash. We've got more money than we know what to do with. Wouldn't that be a nice situation to have in Illinois? They've got more money than they know what to do with. Why did we need to raise the gas tax 10 cents? So I don't know. These State of the Union speeches tend to be a rah-rah speech. I'm anxious to hear what the governor is going to say this afternoon. Obviously, it's going to be about attracting new business and maybe trying to reduce some regulations and all of that. The question I want to ask him is, why didn't he call a concurrent special session right now with the legislature to get the votes he needed to get this redistricting map through? And is he willing to veto a map that weakens the second congressional district? So when I get him on tomorrow, there's a couple. I mean, I want to find out about the state of the state, obviously, but I'm also very interested in finding out his thoughts on this redistricting map, because he does have the power of the veto.
Mm. Yeah, that's
if he'll do it.
Right. You know, Mark, when you said, wouldn't that be nice in the state of Illinois? When you're telling me about the things that need to be done better in Missouri, I kind of have this, like, this thing where I'm on the other side of Missouri's, not first world problems, but, like, first supermajority problems, where I'm like, oh, my gosh. I wish we were having that fight right now. We're in the super minority of everything. Although I will tip you off, talking a little Missouri here on my show, but I will tip you off that the Illinois governor race, the challengers to J.B. Pritzker, that's a hot race, and more people are getting in. And I am very excited for the enthusiasm that if Illinois, I mean, just Missouri folks, Mark, just pay attention to how immediately free Illinois gets the second a new governor is sworn in. It would be very, very, very Virginia-esque, and I'm praying for it. And looking to Missouri to see how they're doing things and how it's being implemented in a successful way. And, of course, like you're always saying, how it can be better. Always room for improvement.
Yeah, I've seen the Pritzker reelection commercials already, and
they're
I just about can't.
Crap. Well,
I know. I can't believe he can look in the camera and lie like that smile on his face about what he's done.
Do you know that you know that Illinois is still under a mask mandate, right? You know that we have been under a mask mandate since basically, I think, July of last year. Like, what people are fighting in the city and the county here in Missouri, Illinois has, the entire state has just been under these edicts of our tyrannical governor for this entire time. And he wouldn't even come on my show when that tornado that hit the Amazon building hit my parents' farm. He wouldn't even come talk to me. So let's beat him. And look to Missouri for a little bit of freedom's way. I'm
wow.
Encouraged. Yeah.
He declined an invitation.
Trisha, the very best booking agent that we have here at the station, as you know, she contacted them, was very sweet. We basically said we would talk Amazon tornado relief for people here only, and they responded and they said they'd look and see what they could do, and they never found time for us. So it's too bad, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. How much time do we have left, Annie?
You can tell. You're going into Wiggins America, so you got all the time you need.
3 o'clock, that's good. That's good. So, yeah, it's interesting, though, how many people there are efforts underway that people don't realize across America to change every state into a an Illinois or a California or a New York.
It's a test kitchen.
And we have to pay attention to that, because in Missouri, we've got these ridiculous initiative petitions where anybody with enough money can get something on the ballot. And the one we have coming up now is called ranked choice voting. I spent a lot of time talking about this on my show.
Yeah, you can go to 97.1. Go to 97.1talk.com, and you can see the article featured on the top there and listen to it and get your take, because I've seen that you've been pretty emphatic on that.
Well, it's about somebody wants to change the way we vote in Missouri because they don't like the outcome of the way the residents of Missouri have been voting. And they see this as an opportunity to sneak in and turn us back into a purple or potentially a blue state one of these days. That's all it's about, because to me it's no different than the filibuster debate in D.C. Why do you not getting your way, so you want to change the rules? And they're trying to change the way we vote to change who's getting elected.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most confusing system. I joked earlier, there's some video that's gone viral today of a Senate candidate down, I believe it's in Texas, who did a campaign ad. Oh, no, Louisiana, who did a campaign ad while smoking a blunt.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
So my question is,
how do you feel about that?
Stoned were the people that came up with the idea of ranked choice voting, because honestly, you'd have to be somewhere else with your brain to figure that this was a good idea.
Yeah.
It's horrendous. It really is.
Van Hagar or Van Halen? We've got it for you, Mark.
That's the question that I want to hear filibustered by Ryan Wiggins.
2:25 p.m. It will be in there, I promise. Mark, thank you so much. We'll be tuning in tomorrow morning, especially at 7:35, when you talk to Governor Parson about those specific issues. Great to have you back, Mark. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break here. Mark Cox of the Mark Cox Morning Show, weekdays 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!